Hey, everybody, welcome in. You know, this is a special program, so I get to say it's Monday, it's Speak Up, and my name is Barbara. You know, we're continuing our journey with you in candidate country, where you get a 50-minute program with opposing candidates, live or taped live, with no editing and in-depth. Today, we're talking with the opposing candidates for Idaho State Senate. They are Republican Jim Woodward and Independent candidate Dan Rose. They're on your ballot this November the 5th. You can choose only one, so one of these gentlemen today will be our senator for the next term. So just to let you know that everybody gets the same question, and we do our best with the candidates' help to keep the time a little bit pretty equal. So all right, all that right after this first message. Hey, everyone. Welcome back in. Join me and say hello to Republican Jim Woodward, Independent Dan Rose, State Senate candidates. Welcome in to both of you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us, Barbara.
All right, Dan Rose, we're going to start with you. Please introduce yourself to our audience.
Good afternoon. My name is Dan Rose. I've been a citizen in LD1 for 10 years now, since 2014. I moved here from Massachusetts. I was a retired state trooper. Other background is officer in the United States Army as an MP, a veteran of foreign war in Iraq, 1991. I am running for state senate because there's information and that impacts principles and cultural values that the district voters will recognize. Those values to me are first and foremost faith in God and our Savior Jesus Christ, independence from government tax and regulation, good education, both public and private, moral values of healthcare, respect for neighbors, resilience of independent spirit, and Trump populism. I have 6 years of well-attended Bonner County commissioner meetings, where I've offered many ideas and criticisms. I was a member of the board of Save Sully Valley. That was a 5G issue. I was a six-year trustee with the elected trustee of the Penderley Hospital District. 7 years elected member of the Bonner County Republican Central Committee, a VFW junior vice commander, an entrepreneur, and all of those will aid my ability to carry the torch of liberty into Boise.
All right, Dan Rose, thank you for that. Jim Woodward, please introduce yourself to our audience.
Hi, Barbara. Thanks. I appreciate that. So the short summary that I give is Idahoan by upbringing, engineer by education, naval submarine officer by training, and then business owner by the School of Hard Knocks here in the community. So I grew up in the area, both in Sandpoint and Bonner's Ferry. I think I've spent enough time here to understand the area well, but I've also been away enough to value and appreciate what we have here. I did get an engineering degree at the University of Idaho, so a mechanical engineering degree. From there, I went on into the Naval Nuclear Power Program, where we learned how to operate submarine reactors, served on board the USS Alabama, a Trident missile submarine out of Bangor, Washington, did a follow-on shore tour on the East Coast, and then continued to serve in the reserves after that for a total of 21 years of service, serving in military law enforcement, theater, anti-submarine warfare, and a few other areas. And then when we had our first child, while we were living back on the East Coast, that was what drove us home, as we realized that if we're going to raise our family, we're going to do it in the spot that we're comfortable in and that we love and appreciate. So I came back here. I had that first child while we were away, and we have a second child now. It just started in at Gonzaga here a few months ago, so pretty proud of that. And so that's kind of me in a nutshell, the short answer. Why am I running, I guess, is always the question we need to answer, and that really comes down to my understanding and appreciation for Idaho that I mentioned. And so I grew up in an Idaho that was very stable and where state government focused on the roles of state government and that, talking about schools, transportation, the meat and potatoes of the business of state government.
All right, excellent. Well, Jim, I'm going to keep it with you, and you have just led me right into my next question. You know, you have already served as a state senator for us, and so you're coming back in and wanting to be reelected or to be elected again. And so what is your top reason? I know you've got many, but if you could give us, what's your top thing that you're passionate about to why you want to be a state senator again?
There are a number of issues, and we'll go into the talk all those different issues. But really, it comes down to trying to have the Idaho that I think that the people who are here in Idaho and appreciate it and are staying here in Idaho, and then also the people who are moving here to Idaho, they're coming for a reason, mm-hmm. and it's because of what we have in Idaho. Those individual freedoms. We definitely are fans of small government. We want the lightest touch of government possible. And then we also want to keep the decisions at the local level. And so if a decision should be made at the county level, that's where it should stay. We don't need the legislature to weigh in on something that's a local decision because every county across the state is different. That's just a fundamental principle. Keep that decision-making as close to home as possible.
Okay, I'm going to let that be your top reason. And Dan, we'll come back to a lot of other reasons, Jim. Dan, also to you, what's your top reason? Why are you running to be a state senator? Top one reason.
Well, the first reason is to represent the taxpayers of the district. When Jim says small government, that doesn't mean inflated state budgets, which he's been a part of. And it means returning surplus monies that the government has earned in the last couple of years back to the taxpayers. That includes grocery tax, property tax. Some of that has been done in the last 2 years when Jim wasn't there. I think we're on a good track, and I think we need to stay on that track and not go back to the track we were on before.
Okay, thank you for that. Well,
I do need to hit that,
yes,
Barbara, because while I was in the 4 years that I served in the state Senate, we increased the grocery tax exemption, or the grocery tax credit. And it needs to be increased more. I agree with that. But the grocery tax credit needs to go up some more. We did do that one time. The homeowner's exemption went from $100,000 to $125,000 while I was there, and I supported that. We also cut income tax rates 3 times while I was there. So we've gone from an income tax in Idaho of 7.4% down to 5.695, I think, is the number. In 5 cuts, and 3 of those cuts, I was there and supported.
So I was going to say, and you voted affirmative on
yes,
all that.
Yes, that's correct.
So we're going to stay with fiscal responsibility here for a while. This has come, you guys have got this brought up. You mentioned homeowners exemption at 125. Jim, do you think that needs to be increased in the next legislative session, or are you okay with where it is at?
I would like to see it increased. I think that when the homeowner's exemption was first put into code in the state of Idaho, the intent was that the homeowner's exemption should be roughly half the value of your home. And what's the median home value here? We're well over $400,000.
Right.
So we do need to increase that. And we had that here in Idaho before I was in the legislature. It was indexed
yes.
at one point. And that went away in the 2009, 10, and 11 years as the values were going down. Then the index was working as it was supposed to,
mm-hmm.
but that was a real challenge for folks when that homeowner's exemption went down a little bit. But if we'd stuck with that, it would also
it
be where it should be today.
All right. Same thing to you, Dan Rose, property tax exemption. What
yeah.
do you think?
Yeah, the homeowner exemption, I see it should be a temporary adjustment. What happens in that homeowner exemption when they give you the exemption? They transfer that tax burden onto another tax classification, i.e. lot owners, landowners, and commercial is not, how do we say, representing their fair share of the tax system. But generally speaking, the homeowner exemptions can force landowners to have to sell because they're now getting a heavier tax burden.
Okay, that's an interesting point, that if the budgets, and this is for both of you to comment on, stay the same, and my homeowner's exemption goes up, so I pay fewer taxes, somebody's got to pay what's going to make up that difference. So what, do you think there needs to be a way to pay for it, or make the budget lower to pay for that increased exemption? Dan, to you, and then to Jim.
Yeah, and so currently, like I said, I think it needs to go up for the times that we're in, but it should be temporary.
But how to pay for it is the question.
Yeah, and so when you do it, you're going to transfer to somebody else. The other thing that I have thought about was doing an impact fee on home purchases from out-of-state buyers. It's like other impact fees around. It's directly related to the problem of housing. People coming in are driving up the price. Okay. They pay an impact fee that goes into the county, comes back as a property tax reduction, and that would be one way of addressing that issue.
So, Jim, if we increase the exemption, which you're in favor of, well, both of you are, how do we pay for it without it just being transferred to somebody else's tax burden?
It is a tax shift, but it's actually a correction of a tax shift that has already happened. If you look at a graph, which I don't have with me, and can't radio viewers can't see this graph that I'm holding up, the homeowner, so there are four categories of real estate in the state of Idaho. That's residential, commercial, agricultural, and timber. And the tax burden has shifted already because the residential values have increased at a much faster rate than the other categories, specifically commercial. So there are instances all over the state that where you can see the commercial landowners have had a reduction in property taxes while residential owners have picked up.
Do we need some kind of a shift in the algorithms so the commercials are beginning to pick up a fairer share, or if that's the way to say it?
Well, transfer some back. I have wondered that, Barbara. I don't know exactly the answer on that, but I've wondered if maybe we should just define that this portion, this category needs to hold this burden and break those out. We are, by our Constitution, bound to treat all taxpayers the same.
Yeah.
But of course, we know we have lots of exemptions of different types in the tax system. So it's not an overnight flip the switch, fix the problem. But we know, right now, the homeowner's exemption is not at half of median value.
Okay.
And so I think that's the driver for me.
If I can keep it, Jim, with you and Dan, you're going to get the same question. We've been talking about reducing spending. I mean, that was kind of, Dan, what you introduced to how are we going to pay for this higher exemption. So give me another example, Jim, that you would support or sponsor in the area of reducing the cost or the budget in some area for Idaho.
So the budget process in Idaho is set and that goes through the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee, voted on by both chambers. And the way that is looked at every year is there's a term called maintenance of effort. And what does it take to maintain what we're doing today? And even a maintenance of effort budget, the dollar amount goes up. Because if people move into the state and we add students in the school, there are more people, if there are more people in the prison, if there are more people hunting for a deer.
I mean, everything have to be maintained? Maybe that's another way to
define,
get it.
Define maintain, or
well,
define
zero-based.
Define not increase, because not increasing, if the population is twice as big, do you expect the budget to be twice as big?
No.
Of
course, I'm not running for office. Don't ask me questions.
I'm sorry. I threw that one back at you, didn't I? If there's more population, if there are more people driving on the roads, wearing out the roads faster, or we need wider roads, so the budget is a function of population and inflation. And we always talk about the consumer price index when we talk about what inflation is, and that's typically in that 3%. Look at the cost of government goods. That's tires and oil and fuel. Those have gone up at a much higher rate than the consumer price index.
All right, so So, Dan, the same question to you. I mean, I understand, we understand what Jim is saying, but is there an area, in your opinion, where the budget could be reduced?
Yeah, I would suggest that the 187 different commissions and departments in the state can be cut back and consolidated. That would be one small way of getting some amount of money back. I think the gas tax is covering the roads and the future projects in the bonds in that sense. So
keep that the same.
That's a user fee, and that can be adjusted, but I think it's relatively high, if you will, at the moment.
Exemptions? Would you change any exemptions that are giving a tax break that needs to be reviewed and perhaps discontinued?
Yeah, so Jim mentioned the constitutionality of the taxing and being equal to all. They tax in certain classifications, and they say now that you're in that classification, it has to be the same. So they kind of separated it out from a general the same to specific groups being the same. Tax exemptions, generally, they're there to, how do we say, spur development or production, and they're probably a good thing. Okay. And some of them are used to alleviate ups and down swings in the economy.
Okay, real quick, I'm supposed to be taking a break right now, but real quick, just to close this thought on the 187 commissions, Jim Woodward, real quick, what do you think about that?
It's easy to say that one of them should be gone, but which one?
Yeah.
Are they providing a service? Let's go down and through that list and start to take a look. And you're going to find that every one of those, you're going to find that there's some group of Idahoans has helped put that in place because it's serving some function. So could we trim on things? Yes. And I want to talk about the gas tax, but it sounds like you need a break.
We'll come back to that. All right. We're up against a break. We're going to take it right now. Don't go away. Hey everybody, welcome back in. Thanks for being with us. We are talking today to the two District 1 Senate candidates. They're going to be on your ballot November the 5th. Jim Woodward, Republican. Dan Rose, Independent. You get to choose only one, and one of them will be our state senator in the upcoming term. I love it. You guys get to make the decision. So the topic, Jim, came up about gas tax. What's your comment on that?
Well, I just wanted to make the comment. One, gas tax is 32 cents per gallon in Idaho. Hasn't been raised since 2017. But think about that. It's a fixed amount. It's not a percentage. And so it doesn't track with inflation. So if you go back, I've used the reference point of 1970 and said the gas tax was 4 cents in 1970, and then just use an inflation adjuster. We haven't kept up with inflation. And so what has that forced us
to
do?
Praise God for that.
Well, but we're not getting a buy on it, because either we don't get the roads, or in this case, what we've forced ourselves into doing, and what we've never done in Idaho, is relied on income or sales tax for the gas tax. Dan made use the reference of a dedicated tax, which essentially that is that we're paying for our roads with. So a truck, a big truck that is getting 5 miles per gallon, a semi truck, is going to pay more because it wears out the road more. A small car, 30 miles per gallon, pays less.
So you think the gas tax is okay where it is? And
well, what I want to say though is we did increase the gas tax effectively because we are now paying for the roads out of your income tax and sales tax. Yeah. We took $80 million of sales tax out of the general fund and dedicated it to a bonding line. And so in the last 5 years, 4 or 5 years, ITD, the Transportation Department, has been able to go out and bond for $1.6 billion and make some of these big improvements.
Okay, so the bottom line is...
The bottom line
you're
is
okay
that...
With this. That
that we've made a fundamental shift in our tax structure without a conscious decision about it. It was a conscious decision.
You want to change that, or you like it?
I think that the gas tax paying for the roads is better than sales tax and income tax paying for the roads.
So is that something you think can be changed in the next term?
No, we've taken that step. Okay. And so we leave that program in place. The money's spent. We're committed to $1.6 billion to pay those bonds.
All right. Well, you know, like with everything, the devil's in the weeds or something. But I wanna...
if the gas tax were indexed to inflation, then it would at least try and keep up.
Oh, please.
Just like the homeowner's exemption.
Still my heart. I don't, I don't want to hear
that. I just came back from South Carolina, and they don't. The gas is 50 cents less than ours, and it's the tax that's the difference.
Yeah.
No, our tax is 32 cents, so it can't be a 50-cent difference can't be paid for by 32 cents.
Correct. It's not exactly 50 cents, but the point is
but they pay for their roads
less
and
gas. Tax.
Pay less.
They pay for the roads in some manner.
Yeah.
And they might also be closer to the supply.
Okay. And this goes to the point, Jim does not like to let go of tax once they have it.
Jim knows that he's taken on the responsibility of putting in place the infrastructure for the state of Idaho, and somehow you have to do it. It may not be popular, but how do you pay for these things?
It's okay, no so we're in a surplus right now, correct?
No, we're not.
Yes, we are. We're giving away lots of money back to the taxpayers in the last 2 years, and you can't get rid of the grocery tax. We won't get rid of the gas tax, and I'm going to tell you, we're getting $72 million from illegal immigrants and different forms of sales tax, property tax, and income tax.
And your point is, therefore?
The taxes never get reduced or eliminated. They always do it to inflation to bring it up higher. That's my point.
Okay, we reduced your income tax five times in the last 6 years. So the income tax rate has gone down. The budget was essentially flat last year from the year before. And I was part of returning money to the taxpayer three times. We sent, remember that when the money was coming, the economy was growing so fast that in Idaho, we sent checks back to the people of Idaho. Tax rebates came out three times. I think there were 12%.
Last year as well.
So that's a
no.
good thing.
521 was a was
that's
a big
a,
was
different a, entirely.
HB 521 was a big giveaway. It was Speaker Moyle's, how do we say, centerpiece tax thing. And individuals get some more back than the schools do on the front end.
You're talking about property taxes.
Correct. And
that was a shell game because that money came from sales tax and income tax. And the same people paid that tax. It got shifted over, and it was popular because people saw it on their property tax, but it was a shell game.
Right, so
but
it's a sales tax.
Okay. I'm not in this one, though I do have something to say.
If I could just go back to the residential property tax between the residents and the commercials. Yeah. There's a CoStar program. We have our non-disclosure state, so commercials don't have to report what their earnings are as part of the assessments, which is then leads to the tax amount. And they're underrepresented in the tax. And I was at a forum that Jim and Sato were at, and it was stated that I believe it was 77% is paid by the individuals, residents, and 23% by the commercial. And so a CoStar program is a small expense that would use national data to, how do we say, bring into compliance or justification the two different tax amounts and make it more equalized or better parity. And that's something that needs to be done too. And that alleviates the residential tax.
Right. All right, let me introduce the idea. You've been talking about infrastructure. Again, I'm just looking for, you know, your specific, if elected senator, what particular issue or bill or more money or less money with regard to infrastructure would you support?
I believe that is one of the main functions of government is commerce, and the state's responsible for state roads. So the state roads need to be maintained and with population coming in, there's a lot of expansion going on.
And you've already mentioned impact fees, so you would be looking at impact fees as a way.
Those impact fees would go straight back to the property owners in the county.
Okay.
The gas tax is your main driver of the road and bridge for state.
So any area of improvement on infrastructure, you're talking about maintaining and supporting, it's a priority, anything that you would change?
No, it's one of the, how to say, biggest responsibilities of government is to provide that service.
Okay, same question to you, Jim. Anything in particular in infrastructure?
So we made those big investments in the road, the state highways. We also made a huge investment here in Idaho, a $900 million investment, or maybe $600 million, in local bridges. And you've seen that play out in Bonner County in quite a few spots. There are new bridges being put in. I think that you can see in our district, would be important to us right now is to continue to add to the capacity of Highway 95. There are many spots, whether you're talking anywhere from the south end of this county, clear to the north end of Boundary County, that getting on and off of Highway 95 is very difficult now. It's not safe, in
especially
fact.
Especially a left hand.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And so we have to continue to work on this corridor to put in place the highway that the population now requires. And so that's what I would be driving. So the way you go about doing that as a legislator is being involved with the Idaho Transportation Department, the Transportation Board, to continue to show the need, because we're prioritizing. We have a certain amount of money to work with, and so we prioritize those needs. That was what I did at the Lakeshore intersection when we got that improvement made, where we have for that turn, instead of having to turn across traffic in Lakeshore, that was just simply a matter of showing people here's a problem.
I'm going to keep it with you, we've got about 4 minutes until the next break, more or less. Law enforcement. You know, you guys, I get to go along next week with a ride-along with the Idaho State Police, leading into a program in November. I don't think they're going to issue me a gun, you guys, I'm hoping. So law enforcement, whether it's border or drugs or our officers, the men and women from dispatchers to EMS to patrols. Jim, keeping it with you, and then Dan taking the same question to you. What would you like to see done? One thing, a bill, something new, a change for improving our law enforcement, any area?
We have to continue to support our law enforcement, understand the difficult job that they take on. And what I'm just starting to hear a little bit is that we're not competitive in wages with our with our law enforcement. And so when you take and you spend the money, invest the money in training someone, and then you lose them to another agency, especially if it's out of state, that's really a challenge. And so that's prioritizing funds. I think that it might need to be that. When I heard some numbers that I haven't confirmed yet, so I'll hold off on saying any real numbers. But boy, that's a struggle. If there's that much disparity, if there's as much disparity as what I heard, then we're gonna have a hard time keeping the people.
Same
we need.
Same question to you, Dan. What's the one thing that you, as a senator, would like to do for law enforcement, any part of it, borders, drugs, whatever?
It's not necessarily law enforcement, but it'd be fire. I had fire guys talk to me in Boundary about wanting to put their own money into the Percy system based on the number of hours they work as volunteers in fighting fires. And the other item was that the volunteers don't necessarily have insurance. Life insurance. So if they're fighting fires as volunteers and we're going to ask them to put their life on the line, I think the least the state can do, and it's responsibility of government to make sure that they are covered in the worst case scenario.
So you're saying life insurance or health insurance? Or
life
both?
Insurance.
Life insurance.
And that would be on the job, life insurance, casualty. So those are two things on the firefighter side. I can tell you I did a document research on the county employees in Bonner County, and that was LPOSD, the county building, and the sheriff's office. And the county building employees are making $28 on average per hour. The sheriff's making $32, and LPOSD is making $40 and change. So there's a disparity between the officer's pay and other county employees, not to even mention the sheriff's office compared to Kootenai County, which is paying higher wages and takes people after they're trained. But even in county, I believe the sheriff's duties would require a better pay.
All right, very good. I can't believe it. We are up against another break. You guys are doing such a good job here filling it up. It's going fast, so we're going to take that break right now. Hey, everybody, welcome in. We have got it going on for you with the two candidates for State Senate in District 1. They're going to head to Boise in January and represent us. It's Dan Rose, he's an independent, and Jim Woodward, he's Republican, and they are vying for your vote. Listen, I'm going to change the agenda here, you guys, and I just kind of want fast answers on this, if you can. Otherwise, you know, say what you want to say. Dan, starting with you, pro-life or pro-choice are real important issues. These are like hot-button issues. And so where do you stand on pro-life, pro-choice?
I'll sum it up real quick. Pro-life, Proverbs 19:18, is welcome to discipline the child because there is hope, but that you should never be a part of their death.
All right, the same issue, Jim Woodward, to you. Pro-life, pro-choice.
Well, you know, I'm not good at short answers.
I know, but do your best.
Yeah, the answer is here. I support life from the beginning, and you can look at my voting record and see that from the time I was in the legislature. But I do acknowledge that right now we've put ourselves in a place with Idaho code where we're causing a problem because the definition of abortion includes sometimes these medical procedures that are necessary to save the life of a mother and to save and the health. And so we have to go back in and take a look at the wording. And I'm not, I don't believe in elective abortions or abortion as birth control.
Like it's inconvenient or something.
Right. Yeah. It's exactly that, Barbara. But I do know that 22% of our OBGYNs have left the state. And I know that with them, they take their spouses, who are oftentimes doctors, and so we have created a problem. We're going to have a little bit of a healthcare desert
We haven't done abortions in like 30 years in Bonner General Health, so I don't know the obstetric nurses.
So why are they leaving?
They're leaving because they feel threatened with a felony conviction.
They feel threatened, but Idaho Code 18622, which is the existing current law, says, and there's a wide door there. It says that in good faith, if they commit or participate in an abortion for the protection of the women's health, for rape and incest, those three conditions are in the bill, then they're not going to be prosecuted. So there is a wide berth for those, for that legal question. So to me, it's an agenda issue.
But you're also asking someone to be Roe or to be Wade. You're saying you've spent 12 to 15 years of your life training to be a medical professional, and now we'd like you to be in the lawsuit to help solve this issue. And not everyone's interested in having their name be in that lawsuit because that's what it means. It means tearing apart your own life. And so why does one individual want to have to take that stand? They want to practice medicine. We should trust our doctors.
Same thing. Another question, Jim. Prop 1. Are you going to vote yes on Prop 1 or no?
I'm going to vote yes, and I want the open primary, and I want that open primary back because we operated with an open primary for more than 90 years here in the
Everybody
state of Idaho.
Everybody only wants to talk about open primary, but ranked
Got
choice
that,
voting
I will.
Is
I will.
The
And so what the other part of it is ranked choice voting, and you can already see the signal that the Speaker of the House and the co-chair of the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee have signaled that if this passes and it hits in Boise, it'll get modified. And my guess is that I would guess that the legislature would modify the ranked choice part, as in,
or maybe even or the open primary part.
Well, yeah. I think we need the open primary because right now we're taking out almost a third of the population out of the voting process in May. An unaffiliated voter. An unaffiliated voter doesn't have anything to vote on, and the proof of that is that if you look at the public voting record, Dan was not didn't vote in May because he didn't have anything to vote on, and so he fell in the same group as all the other unaffiliated voters here in the state of Idaho.
See, that's incorrect.
See, we could have had a whole show on this.
Yeah, so I'm against. I'm against the Prop 1 question.
Okay.
In that bill, there is a financial accountability put on the county that Commissioner Williams had a symposium on. Kathy Larson and I were there, and even Kathy couldn't answer Asia's question about how we're going to pay for this because it's coming from somewhere else in the budget for equipment. So I'm against it. I think there's an integrity issue in the ranked choice voting. If you have to evaluate the vote afterwards, it's not going to be done here locally. It's going to be in Boise, and you ain't going to see what's going to happen. Jim is stated an incorrect condition. He says that I can't vote. I'm an independent candidate, and I can't leave
the party. I stated
that you
did not vote.
I can't leave the party to vote for Republican or Democrat. If I was not a candidate, and that's everybody else, they can pull a Democrat ballot, Constitution ballot, Libertarian ballot, or a Republican ballot. They have the choice of a ballot to pull. To say that they don't have a vote in the primary is absolutely misrepresentation.
Okay, I'm going to keep going here with, unless, Jim, do you want to tackle that again? Let it go. Okay, so it's clear that what you both think on this. I appreciate
that. There are 270,000 people out of a million registered voters who aren't participating in the May primary. And if you take out that large of a segment of the population, do you get a decision that reflects the population?
I think the only thing people need to understand, it's to pick a nominee. It's just saying, look, the Republicans should have the right, as Republicans, to come up with their nominee. The Democrats have their primary. They can have the independents. If you're a Republican, you get to vote for the nine. But everybody gets to vote in the fall.
That works great in a multi-party system, but we're a one-party system here in Idaho.
All right. We got to talk about this again. All right. Listen, I don't know if you guys are city residents, but if you were, would you vote for or against the new city sales tax, 1%? Real quick, yes or no?
Is it another 1% or is it
another 1%.
Yeah, that'd be a no.
That'd be a no. All right, that was Dan.
I would not vote for that, especially because of the term. That program, the local option tax, was essentially a local option tax for resort cities in the state of Idaho, put in code in the late 70s. I do not believe the intention was to put in place a 25-year tax. It was to come up with a specific pieces.
That's a really interesting take, Jim, because I appreciate that. I haven't heard that one because they are using it for everyone, just not a local.
You're supposed to define a project.
Yeah.
We defined a project, the War Memorial Field, and paid for that.
I've got Mayor Grimm on next week, and his program will air the Monday after you're airing on Monday. He'll be next week on Monday, and this is, of course,
LD1 has two school levies on the ballot, too, one in West Bonner County and one in Bonner's Ferry. I'd vote no against both. First one, Bonner's Ferry, it's a $10 million bond, and it's a $5 million interest payment. So it's a 50% interest payment.
So you're voting no on both levies?
No, I'm not there, but I would.
You would, right.
And I would vote no in the West Bonner County because they fired two conservative members and a superintendent. And if they can't...
And Jim, if you
school districts are the only taxing district in the state of Idaho that are not on your bill, your regular taxing bill. Every other taxing district has a line there. The library, the hospital, the county. The 2006 was a mistake in my mind. When we took the school, that was a political answer that we raised the sales tax 1 cent and then took the schools off from having their line item. And it's caused us a lot of grief in the last.
There is a line item in our county tax.
Okay, listen,
voted upon by every 2 years.
Okay, can you believe it? You have to say goodbye, Dan. Say goodbye first.
My name is Dan Rose. Please vote for me on November 5th as your state senator. Thank you.
Jim Woodward here.
That was really too fast. Okay, Jim.
This is Jim Woodward. Served as your state senator previously. I'm asking to serve again, and my intention is to represent the people of Bonner and Boundary County. Not an ideology, not one subset of the population, but to gather the thoughts and feelings from folks in the two counties, take those to Boise, and represent the interests of everyone here so that we can try and keep Idaho what it has been and what we want it to continue to be.
They're your choices, ladies and gentlemen. Dan Rose, independent. Jim Woodward, Republican. You get to make the decision on November the 5th. I want to thank you guys for being on. This is a spirited debate. I like it, and you'd be very interested that, you know, when it's a forum, and I don't have anything against forums, but it's really like a cattle call, and they really don't get to hear back and forth between you, and it's really hard to hide what your passions are in a short, but over the course of this radio, they heard you. I believe people hear your voice, and they hear your heart, so I really do appreciate you guys being on the air, even though you are really short on this goodbye, so here I am talking. But anyway, again, really, truly, thank you guys for being with me. So you know, tomorrow, Tuesday, which is the 22nd of October, I will have a live show, and I'm going to be interviewing Ron Korn and Glenn LaFay. They are competing for Bonner County Commissioner, District 3. And, you know, the important thing, and I keep telling people this and it surprises people, is it doesn't matter where you live in the county, you get to vote for county commissioners. They need to live in their district. So we get representatives from different districts in our county. But as voters, you get to vote wherever you live. If you're a Bonner County resident, you get to vote for both of the county commissioner, District 1, District 3, that are up this year. So tomorrow, Tuesday the 22nd, live for you, Ron Korn and Glenn LaFay. So until tomorrow, I want to say this is Barbara saying take care of yourselves and each other. Please slow down out there. Please vote, and may God richly bless you, my friends.